Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello again from Washington. We come to you every day with interesting stories from around the world that help you learn and improve your American English. Today's show is special. We go back into the classroom. Today we have some help for you if you have trouble understanding the way some people say English words and sentences. Bob Doty introduces a special guest who has some great advice. Bob?
For VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. Today, we have a special guest host. Betty Azar is the most successful writer of grammar textbooks in the world. Generations of English learners will recognize her best-selling book, Understanding and Using English Grammar. The famous Blue Grammar book, now in its fourth edition, is in use at language schools across the world. Today, Ms. Azar will offer some advice on how to hear the sounds of grammar.
English speakers talk too fast. I can't understand what they're saying.
Does that sound familiar? It's a common complaint of English language learners, one I've heard often from my university-level ESL students through the years. Normal contracted speech, especially in everyday conversational usage, can speed by like a bullet train. It can leave learners feeling a little dazed as they try to catch the meaning. For most adult learners, reading is, of course, much easier to understand. When understanding English is just between you and the written page, you can go as slowly as you want. You can go back and read words again, perhaps break down the grammar. You can even leisurely look up the meaning of a word. And at least in writing, there are spaces between words. If only that were true in speaking. If only speakers paused briefly between words, it would be so much easier for learners. Teachers in second language classes often speak slowly and distinctly, as I am doing now. But in the real world, well, it's not going to happen. Or, to say that in normal contracted speech, well, it's not going to happen. Speakers squeeze sounds together, or drop sounds, or say them so softly and quickly that a listener can barely hear them. When you listen to my sentence again, notice that the T is almost completely dropped from its, and going to becomes gonna. Well, it's not gonna happen. As a teacher, I've often heard students say things like, "Bye, I leaving now, I see you tomorrow." What's missing? The grammar sounds are missing. In this case, the M and L sounds for am and will. Listen for them in the corrected sentences. Bye. I'm leaving now. I'll see you tomorrow. The M and L sounds are barely said aloud, but a native speaker hears them, do you? Listen again. Bye. I'm leaving now. I'll see you tomorrow. And then, sometimes, native speakers drop not only sounds, but complete words. Listen to this. Bye. Leaving now. See you tomorrow. If you're saying not fair, you're not the first English learner to feel that way. Grammar students learn that am is are and helping verbs, for example, will, have, would, are often contracted with pronouns in both speaking and writing, as in I'm and I'll. But most students also find it helpful to know that in everyday spoken English, these verbs are usually contracted with nouns and question words, too. Here's a sentence about a man named Tom. Tom is a noun. In writing, you will see, "Don't worry, Tom will be here soon." In speaking, you will hear, "Don't worry, Tom will be here soon." Listen for Tom will again. "Don't worry, Tom will be here soon." Here's another example of a contraction with a noun. My book is on the table becomes, "My book's on the table." And another example, this time with are. In writing, you will see, "My books are on the table." In speaking, you will hear, "My books are on the table." The verb sounds are so quick that it's almost impossible to hear them unless you expect to hear them. Listen again. My book's on the table. My books are on the table. Question words, such as where, when, why, are similarly contracted in speech. In writing, each word is separate. For example, where are the students? Where have they gone? In spoken English, the question word is contracted with the verb. Where are the students? Where have they gone? No wonder it's hard for learners to catch these grammar sounds. If you think English speakers talk really fast, you're right, they do. Do and did are also often reduced. Listen for do you. Do you know, Mrs. Lee? Did can be a quick D sound when it's combined with a question word. Listen for where did and what did. Where'd she go? What'd she do? Did is a good example of a function word. A function word gives grammar information. In the sentence, "Did you eat yet?" did tells us that the speaker is talking about the past and is asking a question. In contrast, eat is a content word. So are words such as Tom, yesterday, lunch. Content words have specific meanings. Function words are the ones that are the hardest to hear in speech. Content words are usually said more clearly and loudly. Native speakers can hear the softer sounds of function words, but it can be very difficult for second language learners to hear them. Knowing some grammar can help. For example, learners are more likely to hear and to say, "By I'm leaving now, I'll see you later," if they are familiar with the forms and meanings of verb tenses. If learners don't know what grammar sounds they're supposed to hear, chances are they won't hear them. If they don't hear them, chances are they won't include them in their own speaking and writing. In other words, an awareness of grammar can prepare you to understand what you're hearing, and hearing the sounds of grammar can, in turn, help you use English more accurately. I'm Betty Azar.
You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America. We come to you every day from Washington.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Hello. Welcome to the VOA Learning English program, Words and Their Stories, where every word has a story. And Happy New Year! The start of a new year is a time of reflection, or deep thinking. Many people plan for the future, and at the same time, feel nostalgic for the past. In other words, they think about the past in a dreamy way, a little happy and a little sad. One popular New Year's song is especially nostalgic. Dan Fogelberg was a popular U.S. singer-songwriter during the 1970s. His song, Same Old Lang Syne, is set around the new year, when two former lovers, high school sweethearts perhaps, meet in a grocery store. They talk about old times and wonder what might have been. Lang Syne means at a distant time in the past. In the first part of the song, Fogelberg writes, I stole behind her in the frozen foods, and I touched her on the sleeve. Fogelberg did not actually steal anything from the store. Stealing would get him arrested, and that would make the song very different. No, in this case, to steal means to do something secretly. You can steal a glance at your secret love from across a crowded room. If someone steals a kiss from you, they sneak up and surprise you with a kiss. If someone steals your heart, they cause you to fall deeply in love with them. And if two lovers steal away into the night, they escape secretly to be together. Who knew stealing could be so romantic? Moving on to the next selection from the song, we find two common expressions. Let's talk about to be lost in embarrassment. If you lose yourself in something, an event or emotion takes over your mind and body. For example, I love getting lost in a good book. Lovers get lost in each other's eyes. You can also lose yourself in your work and forget to see family and friends. Next, what happens when a conversation drags? It does not move smoothly. If two people are embarrassed, their conversation can be slow and awkward. You can also say a book or movie drags if the storylines move too slowly. Conversations with a former lover can be embarrassing. It can be even more embarrassing if you are still attracted to that person. Later in the song, Fogelberg writes about his former lover's appearance. He says the years had been a friend to her, and that her eyes were still as blue. When you say the years had been a friend to someone, you are saying that they look younger than their age. You can also say that the years have been kind to someone. It is a nice thing to say. But you can also change this expression around and say the years have not been kind to someone, meaning they look older than they really are. And that brings us to the end of this Words and Their Stories. Steal away by yourself to practice these expressions. Perfecting them will ensure your English conversations won't drag. Or perhaps just lose yourself in this song. I'm Anna Mateo, wishing everyone a Happy New Year.
I'm Steve Embry.
And I'm Shirley Griffith with the VOA Special English Program, People in America. Today we tell about Burl Ives. He won a Grammy Award for his music and an Oscar for his acting.
In 1958, Burl Ives appeared in the Western movie The Big Country. He played the part of a man who controls huge amounts of land. In the movie, he is not a nice man. He is mean and respects nothing but power. He causes problems for the people around him. Burl Ives won the Academy Award Oscar that year as the Best Supporting Actor. People who knew him well say it was really great acting. That is because Burl Ives was one of the nicest men they had ever met. Burl Ives was not mean. He was a large, friendly man who loved to make people happy with his acting and especially with his music. Except when he was acting in a movie, Burl Ives always smiled. He loved making music and wanted other people to enjoy the music he made. If you listen closely to his voice, you can tell he was smiling when he sang his songs. Listen now as he sings Blue Tail Fly.
When I was young, I used to wait on master and give him his plate and pass the bottle when he got dry and brush away the blue tail fly. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. My master's gone away. And when he'd ride in the afternoon, I'd follow after with the hickory broom, the pony being rather shy when bitten by a blue-tailed fly. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. My master's gone.
Burl Ives was one of seven children. He was born in June 1909 in the middle western state of Illinois. Mr. Ives said he began learning songs as a very little boy. His grandmother taught him to sing while she smoked tobacco in a pipe. As a young man, Burl wanted to teach history. So he began attending Eastern Illinois Teachers College in 1927. But he was not a very good student. The president of the college told him one day he would never be a very good teacher. He said, "Burl, why don't you look around a little? You're always singing. Why don't you try that?"
Burl Ives said he did not even go back to his room to pick up his clothing. He just went down the road and never looked back. He took his guitar and began traveling around the United States.
He worked at many jobs. He also learned many songs. Songs from cowboys, songs from farmers, songs from people who worked on ships, songs from people who worked in mines. He learned songs from anyone who would teach him something new. Burl Ives went to New York City in the early 1930s. He was admitted to the famous Juilliard School of Music to study. He also got jobs in New York. He sang in small eating and drinking places. He sang the songs he had learned. By 1938, he was performing in theaters. He was singing on the radio and was part of a group called the Weavers, which became famous. He began recording the folk songs he had learned. Critics said no one had ever sung them better. He recorded Blue Tail Fly and made it famous. Another of his songs that became very popular was called Big Rock Candy Mountain. The song is a funny story about a homeless man who tells of a place where you do not have to work, where food is free, and tobacco is free. It is a place called Big Rock Candy Mountain.
In the Big Rock Candy Mountain, the cops have wooden legs. The bulldogs all have rubber teeth, and the hens lay soft-boiled eggs. The farmers' trees are full of fruit, the barns are full of hay. I want to go where there ain't no snow, where the sleet don't fall and the wind don't blow. In that Big Rock Candy Mountain, oh, the buzzing of the bees and the cigarette trees, the soda water fountain, where the lemonade springs and the bluebird sings, in that Big Rock Candy Mountain. Oh, 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 oh.
Songs like Big Rock Candy Mountain could be heard on the Burl Ives radio program each week. The radio program was called The Wayfaring Stranger. It was first broadcast in 1940. Burl Ives had recorded many songs, but he did not have a major hit until 1947. That song was Lavender Blue.
If your dilly-dilly heart feels a dilly-dilly way, and if you answer yes, in a pretty little church on the dilly-dilly day, you'll be wed in a dilly-dilly dress of lavender blue, dilly-dilly, lavender green. Then I'll be king, dilly-dilly, and you'll be my queen.
During the 1950s, Burl Ives recorded hundreds of songs on many albums. He also began serious movie work. He had played the part of Big Daddy in the famous Tennessee Williams play Cat on a Hot Tin Roof on Broadway in New York City. He was asked to play the same part in the movie of the same name. Movie experts praised his powerful performance as Big Daddy. The movie was released in 1958, the same year he won his Oscar for the movie The Big Country. In 1961, Burl Ives recorded a song that became another major hit. It made the top 10 list of hit songs in country and western and popular music. The song was Little Bitty Tear.
A little bit of tear let me down, spoil my act as a clown. I had it made up not to make a frown, but a little bit of tear let me down. You said you were leaving tomorrow, that today was our last day. I said there'd be no sorrow, that I'd laugh when you walked away.
little bit of tear let me down. Spoiled my act as a clown. I had it made up not to make a frown, but a little bit of tear let me down.
Little Bitty Tear was followed a year later with another hit, It's Just My Funny Way of Laughin'. The song earned Burl Ives a Grammy Award that year for Best Country and Western Recording. Burl Ives never seemed to slow down. He was always extremely busy. He had another hit record in 1964 with his recording of Pearly Shells. And while he was recording songs for adults, he was also recording songs for children.
It is his songs for children that will perhaps keep Burl Ives' memory alive for many years to come. His most famous are two Christmas songs, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman. These songs were used in cartoon movies first shown on American television in the 1950s and 60s. Burl Ives provided the voice of some of the animals and people. He also sang most of the songs. A snowman in one of the movies even looks like Burl Ives. Both of these movies are still shown on television during the Christmas holiday season each year. They have become Christmas traditions. Here, Burl Ives sings Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history. Other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Burl Ives never really retired. He moved to the northwestern state of Washington in his last years, but he continued to sing as long as he could. He died of cancer on April 14th, 1995. He was 85 years old.
It's just my funny way of laughing. Yes, my funny way of laughing. Your leaving didn't bother me. It's just my funny way of laughing. Yes, my funny way of laughing. I'm really happy as can be. If you see me with a great big smile at some party where the fun runs wild, if tears start to flow when I fall apart, please don't think you broke my heart. It's just my funny way of laughing. Yes, my funny way.
This VOA Special English program was written by Paul Thompson and directed by Katie Weaver.